Jesse, are you ready for the best spy, Canadian spy stories you've ever heard in your life?
Are we recording? Are we doing this right now? Yes. Just jumping right into it, 2 feet first?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. Well, actually, first of all, let's just say we are back together again.
Yay!
In the new studio that is not small like Jesse said it would be. It's actually way bigger, way more comfortable. It's great. There's a window where you can wave to people through it while you record. Like in the movies.
You just like getting in here and surprising people with your naked body, don't you?
It's doing one of those records again.
People come in first thing in the morning, expecting to work at a civilized workplace.
It's actually art, and it's called The Sounds of the Flesh.
Jesus Christ.
It's an art installation. Anyway.
One of your employees comes in, looks through the window, and you're trying to slap your armpit with your foot, and it's just that's a very distinguished, very unique sound that you haven't gotten yet, but I've watched you try.
I just like to create. That's all I like to do.
So we're not doing Canadian politics for the next 10 days. Is that right?
No, this is like a mini woofuckack that has nothing to do with the Winter Festival of an aligned celebration.
Yeah, you got it. That's amazing. Yeah.
This is all about a special season, all about Canadian spy stories. And I don't think many Canadians think about their involvement in espionage. They always, you know, I just don't think, and it's also not portrayed in movies. Do you think a lot about Canadian spies?
I didn't even think Canada had spies. I didn't.
Canadians had spies?
No, I didn't.
They do. I've got news for you.
I mean, they're really good then.
Well, I've got news for you, pal. They do, they did, and they will.
Yay!
And they have.
All right.
So, 10 daily episodes that we hope you'll enjoy listening to us every day.
Okay.
For 10 days.
And I'll like, oh, you forgot the ack at the end of a fuck ack.
I know I did. And you said I did it right, so I just gave
up. So we both gave
it. We got our own religious holiday wrong. So
we got that wrong every day.
We did get that wrong. So,
how have you been? I haven't. I've been crazy busy. What have you been doing?
I've been crazy busy too.
Yeah right.
Yeah,
you're never
so
crazy.
So busy, my voice has increased an octave. I'm good.
I want to know where you got this kitschy mug from. I'm drinking one of his coffees from his office kitchen, and it says it's this like white curvy mug that seems like it belongs in like an Instagram post. It says "Ride bikes, have fun, feel good." Where'd you get this?
I found that on the floor outside when we moved in.
That seems
enjoy,
about right.
Enjoy your coffee.
It's never been washed.
It's never been washed. The rain probably washed it. I had an art teacher, and he used to bring animal bones and skulls in, and I was always like, "Oh, can you touch that?" And he said, "Oh no,
this is a teacher.
This school? Is a teacher, an art teacher.
Like an art teacher, not a math teacher.
He used to bring in skulls and bones, and we would have to draw them." And I was like, "Hey, how did you clean this?" He was like, "I didn't clean it. Nature did. So there's a field, and like the animals die, and they roll down the hill and into a trench, and the rain washes the flesh off, and it's clean. Nature cleaned it." And I'm like, "But he's sure that I don't know if that's a thing." But anyway, you know.
Yeah, nature cleaned it with flesh-eating bacteria.
It's exactly. Great. Yeah, and now I'm drawing it. So, exactly.
It's not very sanitary.
So, when do you think Canada first had a spy?
We're just jumping right into it.
We're going to jump right into it.
You don't give a shit what I did this week, do you?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Jesse.
No, fuck it. I don't care. I'm not going to tell you.
How's the film going?
I don't give a shit.
How's the film going?
No, fuck it.
Okay, cool. Let's get on with the content.
Goddamn spies. Fuck you. You don't care.
It sounds like your film went okay.
I'll tell you another time.
We'll just do a bonus episode about you talking about your film.
Just a rant.
Jesse's film rant episode. Anyway. So when do you think the first Canadian spy was invented?
Invented?
Or when do you think that Canada had spies?
Is this an actual, can I get a hint? Like a deck, is there, I'll see if I can guess. Is it 1944?
No, you're off by just under a century.
Oh.
So this is episode one. It's called Canada's Secret Police and the Fenian Raids.
The Fenian Raids?
The Fenian Raids.
Fenian, like with an F or a PH? Fenian?
F-E-N. I-A-N-S. Fenians.
All right.
Yeah.
Could that be so, Fenians?
Might be the Fenians.
Could it be Fenians?
It might be the Fenians. All right. The Fenians sounds good, actually.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Fenians.
Someone will correct us.
They will. Thank you in advance to that person. So we're glad you'll take the time out of your busy life. So they were a secret society of Irish patriots who'd emigrated from Ireland to the United States and to Canada.
Okay.
And
that's pretty cool.
I think what it was they hated the British Empire because Ireland was trying to fight for his independence outside of the British Empire. Because I don't know if you know this, but the UK is made up of many smaller nations.
I've heard.
And Ireland was the first to get out. But it took a long time for them to get there.
I didn't know that.
A lot of fighting. A lot of bad things happened. So there was a hell of a lot of support for Irish nationalism in Canada, and there were the number of sworn, I'm going to say Fenians.
Sure. It just sounds like an alien, honestly.
Fecit. I'm going to say Fenians. the number of sworn Fenians was only about 3,000 people out of 250,000 Irish Catholics.
The what? Sorry? Say that again?
So there were people swore to this Fenian organization, and there was only...
Whenever you say it, you know, it reminds me of the Ferengi from Star Trek.
I don't think that's a helpful thing to have in your head when you
I'm
talk
very
about.
Helpful. Yes, please continue.
It's very unhelpful. So there were 250,000 Irish Catholics in Canada at the time, and a very basically 3,000 or less supported this organization that was all about Irish freedom, Irish nationalism.
This is the Fenians we're talking.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And lots of people were sympathetic, but they weren't actually signed up to join in this brotherhood. So that essentially the Fenians were almost like a secret army.
Of separatist Irish.
Yes, who could... The idea was they wanted to attack Canada from America, because America was an independent country, but Canada was still part of the British Empire. So they were like, hey, how can we help all our family back in Ireland? Let's attack Canada, because it's an extension of Britain.
Yes. Sure.
It's like a second front.
Yeah.
If I may. Second front.
Okay.
So they essentially they would launch armed attacks from the USA into Canada. This is in the 1860s.
Hold on. You're saying they moved from Ireland to the States and then up to Canada?
No, they lived in America.
Oh.
But they would launch armed raids.
Oh, because they'd already left.
They'd already left, yeah. So
they didn't want to live in Canada because Canada was an extension of the place they already left from.
They like living in the USA. They just wanted to attack the British interests. So
which happened to be Canada, right?
Canada was a British interest. So they
As was Australia, but that's too far away, let's face it.
Yeah, that wasn't next door, Jesse. You couldn't walk there. So you couldn't walk to Canada. So they were named after ancient Irish warriors. That's where they got the name from.
Okay.
And they wanted to take Canadian territory by force and hold it and then exchange it for chunks of Ireland or for Irish freedom. So they thought...
Did they know how big Canada was?
Yeah, but that's but then there weren't many people in Canada. So you could take a chunk of Canada over, and Canada's so big. At that time in the 1860s, Canada wasn't even Canada.
Yeah, but to take over the entire land, I mean, like if you went to, let's say, Winnipeg... I like bringing up Winnipeg. If you went to Winnipeg, and at the time, Winnipeg wasn't nearly as big as it is today, right?
Yeah.
Or even existed, I'm guessing, because it was the Republic of... Remember we did an episode of this?
The Republic of Manitoba.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, at the time. So if they tried to take over the Republic of Manitoba, which is huge, right? And they say they took it over, the city. Oh, my God, we got your little city, your little town, whatever. And then all the people who were there, they just kind of moved over and started again. Like, you're not actually holding the whole republic, the whole province. You're just pushing people to the side and saying,
yeah,
we've got it.
But if you take over the bit where everybody lives, as in a town and a city,
yeah,
the rest is just countryside.
Yeah, yes, but yeah, I guess.
Which is why they bombed cities, not fields.
Right. All right, fine. Fine. I thought I had a point. I don't have a point.
Well done, Jesse.
Thank you.
Congratulations on your point. So in 1865, the British Empire crushed the Irish independence movement at that time.
Oh.
And
In 18... I don't care.
1865. So there was a big thrust for independence, and it was crushed by the British Empire.
Okay.
So there were a lot of Irish veterans who had fought in the American Civil War. So they hated Britain. Ireland had lost his chance at independence. They were trained They were battle-hardened. They decided that they had to keep fighting for their homeland, so they decided to ramp it up a bit. So the actual Fenian movement grew to at 10,000 men. So now this secret army suddenly was 10,000 strong and full of people who
Jesus.
Knew how to do fighting. They were good at fights. Gun fights, sword fights.
What are the kind of fights?
All the fights.
Tell me more.
Pillow fights. I don't know. Fist fights. And then that grew quite quickly again to 14,000. So in April 1865, they staged a raid against Campobello Island in New Brunswick and destroyed a few buildings.
I've never heard of this island.
Campobello Island.
Are you going to show me?
Campobello.
Give us
Island.
A shout out if anybody's from Campobello.
Campobello!
It was the largest and only inhabited island in Campobello. The island's permanent population in 2016 was 872.
Campobello. So,
it's 14 kilometers long.
Campobello.
And 300 foot tall.
Campobello. Campobello.
So anyway, they burned some stuff. This small island. With
Campobello.
Island.
Campobello.
Do you work for the Campobello Island Tourist Board?
Campobello.
So... the Fenians.
I may have had too much coffee.
I may.
It's possible.
anyway, so the Fenians.
Campobello.
Stop saying Campobello.
It's really to fun to say. I like Fenians. It. It's just
Fenians or Fenians. You decide.
Frankie, go.
The Fenians decided that destroying a few buildings on the island that you like singing Campobello. Wasn't enough. So they decided to strike at modern day Quebec.
Okay.
Not modern day Quebec.
I was
they didn't
say
travel.
They need a time
they didn't,
travel.
They didn't
like,
travel didn't forward in time and attack Quebec. They travel. They attacked the area that is now modern day Quebec.
What's that coming down the driveway, Reese?
It's me with a fresh delivery from the ad man. Come
oh my
smell
gosh.
It.
I will come smell it. I love how your ads smell.
Oh, golly, it's fresh.
Leah, stuff it in my face.
Fresh ads.
Smack me in the face with it. Yeah, just the way I like it. Ads.
So they had to mobilize 20,000 Canadian volunteers and 13 small steamboats to stop this raid from coming over.
Wow. Did they work?
Just really enjoying this.
That's great.
I'd like to know when we get into the spies part of it. Well, but this is actually the next sentence, Jesse.
Oh,
this is all. This is all
reading your mind again.
This is backstory. Right. So,
I want you to call them a Ferengi just once.
No,
just.
So the Canadian government realized.
Yeah.
They only had militia. They didn't have an army.
That's fine.
They only had militia, and they had no information on when these people were going to cross over the border and attack. Yeah. So,
who needs that? That's fine.
So in early 1865, they established a Canadian secret police.
Okay.
Which was technically the first ever Canadian spy agency.
There we go. So can I guess what happened?
So they had pens that blew up. They had an Aston Martin that could flip upside down and be a cat. All these gadgets.
Yeah. They had a deck of playing cards that would emit sleeping gas.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They had a rocket that blew up.
Yeah. And a rocket that sucked in.
Yeah. That blew in.
And they had just a handful of rocks that they could throw at people. But did they go across the border to quote unquote, I'm doing air quotes here. You can't see me because you're on a podcast.
Are you ready?
You can see me. Our listener can't see us. Quote unquote, became part of the I just want to call them Ferengi.
No, the Fenians.
The Fenians. They became part of the Fenians so that they could report back as to what the Fenians are going to do.
It's almost like you should work for a spy agency, Jesse.
Right.
So the spies attempted to infiltrate the movement.
Hold on.
With
hold
mixed
on.
Results.
Just hold on. Just wait a second. So I'm going to take what you said to heart. If any spy agency out there thinks I'd be a good fit, give us a call.
Just give me a public declaration of employment.
Yeah, I'll be a spy.
On a public podcast is a really good way to get into a secret agency. So well done.
Thank you.
Actually, I've got a future episode where we'll talk about recruitment. So.
Oh.
And informers from the secret police, the Canadian secret police, informed the government with tips that varied greatly in quality. So someone like, they might be here Tuesday to... they're definitely coming on Tuesday. There were many informers supplying so much information that they actually struggled to work out what was fact and what was just made up. So it worked, but then they had to go through all these rumors.
Why would they make it up? Why would the spies make up their information?
Well, I guess they were probably paying people for information. Or like giving them like, hey, do you want this apple?
Oh, kind of like we'll pay you per bit of information.
Exactly. So like, yeah.
Bob the spy comes back on Tuesdays to say like,
hey, have you seen any Fenians around? I don't know. My memory ain't so good no more. And then he like pulls out a note. Maybe this will refresh your mind. Ah, they were here Tuesday, like that.
What time on Tuesday? Oh gosh,
my brain isn't what it used to be. Right. Here's some more money. Oh, 3 p.m. Yeah, like that. That's how I'm. Imagine it. So they actually started intercepting.
Bob the spy.
Bob the spy. They started intercepting mail across the border and reading everyone's mail.
Wow.
Shitheads. And they sent freelance spies to New York.
If I knew that was happening, I would send like.
Would you be a freelance spy?
No, but I would send the most salacious letters across the border, knowing that they were going to be read. To like just send them to nobody, and knowing that the government was going to read these like disgusting,
strangers,
just horrifying letters. Just What did you ask me? Would I be what?
Would you be a freelance spy?
I mean, if I got to get bribed like that,
the thing is,
maybe,
when you're freelance, you're only as good as your last gig. So. Did you stop the nuclear devices? No, everyone's dead. So
why am I laughing?
Now I'm not getting any more work. So the Fenian headquarters was in New York, and they also got information from the British consulates in New York, Buffalo, Boston, and Philadelphia. And there were so many Fenian informers paying visits to the British consulate.
It sounds like something the Transformers would fight.
I know.
The Fenian informers.
The Fenian informers.
Autobots assemble.
Fenians assemble.
Fenians assemble.
Anyway.
That's the Fenian. Yeah, the Transformers.
A lot of people died.
So is that you're just gonna stop my funny anecdote by telling me that a lot of people died? It works. It's effective.
A lot of people died. Anyway, I mean, everyone we're talking about died because it was in history, but you know.
It reminds me of this. I tell you, just quick aside. This show with a bunch of comedians trying to make other comedians laugh, and they're just all stuck in a room together. And one comedian finds a book of puppies. And he just starts flipping through the book of puppies, but he sees at the beginning that it's like 30 years old. And he's like, oh, all these puppies are dead. And he just starts flipping through. Oh, that puppy's dead. Flips the next page. That puppy's dead. Flips the next. That puppy's definitely dead. And he was just, everyone had a hard time not laughing. Please.
It's not one of your best anecdotes.
As he just stares at me blank face, waiting for me to stop talking.
Jesse, please. Tell him the anecdote about the book of dead puppies. Lightens the room.
It's one of my best party jokes.
In the British consul in New York, there was a Nova Scotian called Edward Archibald.
There's nobody fucking called Archibald anymore. Or Archie. Like, that name's just dead.
It's a shame.
If you have a child out there, listener, and you're wondering
what to name him. It was actually his last name, but...
Well, you can call someone Archie and Jughead. Archibald. You know?
Yeah.
You should name your kid Archie. Just saying, if you're thinking like, what should we name our fucking kid?
Archie. I think it's come back. I think there's people
calling we're making a comeback right now.
Yeah. Right? Well, when you have children, you can call it them Archie.
No, thanks. I'm not gonna call them anything. Child.
Anyway.
Child, it's ready for dinner.
Yeah. Small human.
It's a small human. It's time for the hot food.
Genetic mishmash of me and my partner. Gets you.
It's just too long.
Yeah, that's too long.
I'm genetic mishmash. I'm a fan of brevity.
Of me and my.
Are you trying to do an acronym?
Gumbom.
Genetic mishmash of me, Gumbom, and my. Gumbomop. Gumbomamp.
Gumbomamp. There we are. Archie or Gumbomamp. Those are the names.
Those are your picks.
Anyway, Edward Archibald was fearing for his daughter's life because there were so many informers coming back and forth. That there might be some kind of attack or something. Anyway, on June the 1st, On June the 1st, 1866, not 1966, right. Not wrong century, right. An advance party of 1,000 heavily armed Fenians crossed the Niagara River from Buffalo, New York.
In barrels?
And they were led by John O'Neill, a former U.S. cavalry officer. No, or tightrope.
Oh, sweet.
No, I imagine
that would be impressive as fuck.
I think there's a bridge. And he had served in Ohio and West Virginia during the Civil War. The Fenians captured the undefended town of Fort Erie. They captured the railway and the telegraph lines.
Wow.
They arrested the town council and customs and border officials. They forced the town's bakeries and hotels to provide them with food. They seized horses and tools, and they began to build trenches and fortifications.
They forced the bakery to bake them baked goods.
I want a baguette. My kid's called baguette long bread. I mean,
like,
I love.
If England was the long bread?
Long bread.
That's adorable.
I want some of that crusty long bread.
That's really cute.
Anyway.
No, what I was going to say is, like, if the, you know, the European government was in touch with any of the people that were taken over at all, they could just inform the bakery to poison all of the bread that they, and that's it, you're done.
I'd kill the birds.
Well, I mean, as an aside, yeah. It's the first thing you think of is, okay.
Those poor birds. Yeah. So 22,000 militia volunteers were mobilized, and several British infantry units. Six Canadians were injured.
So you're saying that our spies really worked?
They invaded and took over, so they missed. They missed on this.
They missed the day that they were coming over.
Yeah, they missed this. Six Canadians were injured. 36 were taken prison. The Fenians lost 9 men with 14 wounded. O'Neill was...
Out of 1,000?
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
It's not bad. O'Neill was forced to withdraw back to the United States, and they were arrested, but O'Neill was soon paroled. So basically, actually, the Fenians had a lot of support in America from Irish Americans, and prominent Irish Americans, so often they weren't punished and were secretly funded by some people within society, because they were all fighting for, you know, to free Ireland back in.
Right.
They wanted home rule. So in response, the government suspended.
So they couldn't hold it? They couldn't hold these?
They couldn't hold it. They were pushed back. So
all right.
In response, the Canadian government suspended habeas corpus.
What the fuck is that?
It's something to do with dead people.
Okay.
No, I'm joking. I think it's the right to have a trial.
So what?
Oh. Right. So, which is pretty serious.
Yeah. So they were all just judged and sentenced.
Yeah. So they
like just, Judge Dredd.
Yeah, like Judge Dredd. So that was my terrible Sylvester Stallone impersonation.
I was trying to figure out. No. Okay.
Jesus. I can't do impersonations. But anyway.
No, but I love actually, watching
a lot of
you people, try.
A lot of diehard Judge Dredd fans didn't like that film, but I enjoyed it.
I like, yeah, yeah.
It was okay.
It was, yeah, yeah.
His brother Rico.
It was okay. It wasn't great.
Anyway, so they suspended habeas corpus for 1 year so no one could die.
Okay.
I'm joking. The government banned death for a year. They were acutely aware of the Fenian threat. They fortified the parliamentary buildings. And got ready for the sudden introduction of explosive preparations. So what happened then as well was Thomas Darcy McGee.
What a name.
He was Irish, obviously, and he spoke out against the Fenians and was then assassinated.
Oh, my God.
He was shot and killed on Spark Street in Ottawa.
Wow.
So they created The Dominion Police Force had been formed because Canada just confederated recently, and they adapted the Dominion Police Force to protect buildings of the federal government. They basically became bodyguards for government leaders because of this assassination and this external threat.
These were the spies?
Are the spies, yeah. No, the spies became part of this Dominion Police Force that eventually became the RCMP. Yeah. And they would carry out secret service work. They would enforce certain laws, including those relating to counterfeiting and human trafficking. And they were supposed to keep the peace at railways and canals that were under construction or important to the country. So essentially, Canada was like, we're a country now. We need some kind of security apparatus to protect our leaders and the country.
Right.
And that's
became that.
Yeah.
Organization.
Exactly. Exactly. So what happened then as well was the Fenians had one last attempt. They did try and invade Manitoba. You were quite prophetic there.
Right.
And they were hoping to support Louis Riel and the Métis. But so he took so O'Neill, who was arrested before and led them before, took 40 men over a took over a customs office. But instead of supporting O'Neill, raised volunteers to defend against them. And soldiers from Winnipeg met the invaders, and they were arrested. And this kind of ended the Fenian raids for good. And what happened though? This external threat really drove an idea of nationhood and that Canada was a coherent country. It really helped with Confederation because they were like,
let's face it.
No, but at the time it was like, hey, we're a bunch of colonies.
Hey, we're a country. Sure.
And it
are.
Was like, oh, we need to team up and have a police force and you know, go to prison without a trial. So let's be a country. So those are the first spies. What do you think about that?
I think this is a very long episode for the first episode. If we're doing this for 10 days in a row, we might want to shorten
them. This is the shortest one.
Are you serious?
No. No, there are shorter ones. But it was a lot to get through.
It was a lot to get through.
Canada had a secret police.
That's kind of neat. They didn't do a very good job.
Well, they did for a while, but I mean, it was different in those days. I mean, they did win in the end.
Well, Canada won, but like the spies were supposed to let us know when the Fenians were coming over to attack, and they didn't. That was their one job.
Yeah.
Their one job.
But maybe they prevented other attacks that you don't know about.
Maybe.
I don't know.
You're the one teaching me.
I don't know. So anyway, this has been the first of the spy season daily show. So we'll be back.
The next episode's maybe shorter. I don't know. I mean, it's up to how long Reese wants to edit these things. I don't know, man. If you want to have 25-minute episodes for each one of these, then...
I am king. So just shut up and learn. Shut up and learn. That's our new slogan. That's a new T-shirt. Shut up.
Shut up and learn.
Shut up and learn.
Yeah, no, I like that. That's good.
It's my new attitude.
What's the acronym for that?
Shut up and
swall.
Learn. Swall. Swall, motherfuckers.
We might not want to swear so much on this.
Sorry.
I think we're still being sponsored, possibly.
Shut up and learn. Anyway, so I hope you all have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
What's the call to action for today for our listeners?
Listen tomorrow.
That's it?
Yeah, please. Please come back.
We'll continue with more Canadian politics after the 10 days of spies, we promise.
Yeah, but for now, more spies tomorrow.
More spies, yay!
And when you wake up, make sure you're late for work. Just lie in bed, listen to our show, and then go back to sleep.
Oh, I like
dreaming
that.
Of Canadian secret police.
I like that. That's good.
Habeas corpus suspensionists.
And Ferengi.
Yeah, and Ferengi.
Okay. I got you to say it. Yay.
Yay.
Minor success.
Yay. God, I hate Star Trek.